Today's Tuesday, May 1st. It's the beginning of a new month. That means new products in the Level 1 store.
Yay!
We have these new polos. They have embroidery, but the embroidery is kind of subtle, except when you're under like really bright studio lights.
There you go. You got it.
So you can kind of see it.
The gray one is probably the least subtle, like, because it's got black on gray, but the rest are like... If you want to, like, kind of be an undercover fan, this is how you do it.
This is a nice button-up. I'm going to legit wear this in public, maybe.
Maybe.
No, I probably will. It's all good.
We'll see it in every video.
It's a button-up.
No. Where are you going to put them now?
I don't know. You'll have to deal with them. I'm in the middle. I can't. There's nothing I can do.
As is often the case, today is politics, business, and social media, which... tend to be what we lead with.
Politics and business and social media, those things, one of these things is not like the other.
Well, but tech more and more is sneaking into politics.
Oh, oh my goodness, we've got a talker.
When is that Chrome autoplay update supposed to roll out? I thought that was supposed to be like this week, and I'm still getting them.
That's why you don't use Chrome.
The video will begin in a moment. I don't care about the video. If you guys want to see the video, you guys can go look at the article. So yeah, the first thing, this is a follow-up, this is just more information. China assigns every citizen a social credit score to identify who is and isn't trustworthy. Mark my words, it's only a matter of time before this comes to the rest of the world.
Well,
one way or another.
We've talked about this, but the thing about this article is they actually followed one guy who was a journalist. And he was a journalist who is very critical of the Communist Party.
He's been in trouble before. He is a dissident.
So he's a negative.
Well, he was because of his tweets. It's always tweets. It's just hilarious. It's the world we live in. He was forced to apologize, but his apology was ruled insincere. And because of that, he found he cannot board planes at all. He cannot get a loan. He cannot send his children to a private school.
Cannot purchase property.
So these are the effects, the crazy effects of, and this, you know, it's not a violent crime, not really a crime of any kind. It's just being, it's saying bad things about the government.
Outspoken.
Also on Twitter, of all places.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that if he were in America, he would be three clicks away from being declared an enemy combatant.
Nope, not saying that at all.
We're saying nothing about any of this. Because we don't want our social score to go down.
Well, the SEC has issued a $35 million fine over Yahoo failing to disclose the data breach. Now, you guys may remember this. When this broke, we covered it. Verizon was in the process of buying Yahoo, and Verizon demanded that Yahoo lower the amount of money that Verizon was going to pay for the acquisition by $1 billion.
Yahoo doesn't actually have to pay it. Or Verizon doesn't have to pay it. There's like a shell company that's holding what's left of Yahoo, and they're going to pay it. But this, it's interesting because the ruling they talked about, it's like, you know, the amount of time between when they knew about it and when they told the shareholders, not the people affected, the shareholders was the reason that they were levying this fine. But let's think back to, what was the name of Equifax? Yes.
Right, those
guys. What was it, 6 months?
Yeah, it was like 6 months.
Yeah, so it's weird that Equifax kind of got off without this kind of punishment, but Yahoo pays $34
million. But no one likes Yahoo. No one.
$34 million is like nothing for Yahoo, though. I mean, that might as well be zero.
Well, since they kind of don't exist anymore, they're just a, you know, on paper.
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny that, you know, Verizon was saying, oh, this is going to produce $1 billion of liabilities. And the SEC is like, $35 million.
That's quite a low percentage.
The system is rigged. Well, with the new restructuring, Yahoo's going to make it harder for individual users to sue in case you're unhappy with that settlement. Yahoo is adding mutual arbitration clauses to their user agreements as they sort of transition into the Verizon Oath family. That sounds vaguely mafia-esque.
The worst family you can be part of.
Yeah, so every Oath subset is going to have the same terms and conditions, and it includes arbitration and, you know, basically when you use their product, and this is the content arm of Yahoo. So they sort of broke up, and this is the media version. And if you use their sites or whatever, it's all going to have the same clause, and you're not allowed to sue. And when they were reached out, the reporters reached out, and they were like, what? And the response was just a can. It's like, we believe that consolidating all of our sites under the same terms and agreement is better for the user.
Better for us.
Can't even keep a straight face.
Maybe okay for the pro business tip instead of a pro criminal tip. If you have an at Yahoo email address, I don't take you seriously.
But it's
2018.
Yahoo's the headline, but let's mention AOL, Huffington Post, TechCrunch, and Engadget all have the same agreement because they are all in the Oath family.
I mean, I don't know. Is it really that bad if your business email is, you know, xxskankyboo, you know,
at yahoo.com?
Why is this? Come on. Yeah. I wonder if after the data breach, like, if Verizon, you know, that was Marissa Meyer, right? I wonder who's in charge, you know, the ex-Googler or whatever. Was that right? I can't remember. I wonder if Verizon sent, like, you know, the severed horse's head to her, like, in The Godfather. Or if now that it's all over and it was only really a $35 million deal, they're like, oops, our bad. Here's, like, the severed head of a canary instead.
Wow, spoiler.
In case you haven't seen a movie that came out in the 70s.
Listen, I might watch it one day. There's going to be a lot of people who are upset that I haven't seen The Godfather now.
Remember that kid that hacked the CIA director's personal email by impersonating him on the phone to his cell phone provider and some other stuff? Well, he's been sentenced to 2 years in prison, and I like how the Gizmodo uses cyber terrorist in quotes.
Yeah, this guy did a lot of really annoying things. He redirected one woman's entire phone system to, like, some sort of Palestinian liberation thing.
And, yeah.
You know, they got into their emails. And I think the reason they came down so hard on him is because when he was, you know, in court talking about her, interviewed about it, he described it as being trivial. He said a four-year-old could do it.
Oh, I think it was a five-year-old. Let's not misquote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Correction next week.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be the head of our security administration. Security. And, you know, he likens him to a five-year-old. So, yeah, I think they came down as hard as they reasonably could without backlash.
I think he was 15 when he did all this, so he was pretty young.
But he's 18 now, so he's going to do that 2 years.
Wow. How many points do you think it took off his social profile score?
I think he's in the negatives at this point.
He's going to have that felony following him around his entire adult life, too. That's going to be eye-opening, probably.
Yeah, it's going to be a computer crime. It's interesting, the charges against him are these really vaguely worded, like, crimes with technology or something like that. You know, you see how far behind the legal system is when it comes to things like this. At least they didn't call it hacking.
Yeah, that's true. Facial recognition may be coming to a police body camera near you. Now, we've talked about this kind of thing before, but this is the maker of the Taser electronic weapons, which we've covered the story a few different times, but it seems like the technology is sort of inching closer to implementation, which scares us a little bit.
Yeah, well, they're not called Taser anymore. They're called Axos now, and they would prefer that you not mention the name Taser because they got out of that business.
Don't tase me, bro.
Has a negative connotation. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
There's a great YouTube channel called Police Activity, and it is the footage from all of these Axos cameras. And you can just watch people getting shot and high-speed chases all day long.
Well, that sounds delightful.
That sounds like what Cops was in the 90s.
Well, it's the stuff that Cops could never show you. And it's amazing how many people will rush a cop with a gun out with a screwdriver. It's astonishing. Like,
it's like what I do in a video game. Just running with a melee weapon.
But you know how that's going to end.
Yeah.
But it works in PUBG.
Sometimes.
Well, pro criminal tip. It doesn't work in real life.
That's also a disturbing channel, so don't look it up lightly.
Well, they got the warnings on every... Yeah, you're going to watch people get shot.
You think they're having any trouble with the monetization?
That's a good question.
Because violence. But the cops, it's the cops.
They don't... Like, if it's a questionable shoot, it's not going up there. These are, like, cut and dry, yay, these people are protecting us, they're heroes kind of shootings. Uh-huh. So it's never... They don't put it up there if it's under investigation or something like that.
Interesting. We've reported also a few times on the GDPR, the General Data Protection thing that's happening in Europe. It affects all companies that do business worldwide because Europe is taking a pretty harsh stance on protecting your personal private information, or at least forcing companies to disclose how they actually use your data.
How many emails have you gotten this week where it's like, we're changing our terms of service?
Over 100.
It's so many.
Easily over 100. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I've gotten probably 50 emails from Google Analytics alone, and it's like, I don't think I have that many Google Analytics accounts.
Oh, we do, though. As someone who has to look at our analytics, we do have that many.
Well, one of the casualties in this is the Whois data. So Europe hands DNS overlord ICANN its ours here. Is that?
Is this British?
This is the register.
The register is a little pro GDPR, I think.
So if you're not, Whois is actually like, I can see that the intentions are good here, but I think Whois should be maybe one of the exceptions. Because if you buy a domain name, and let's say that it gets hijacked and used for spam, or if a criminal buys a domain name and it gets used for spam, having the Whois data to be able to contact the owner and say, hey, your domain is being used for spam, is sort of a handy thing to do. And some registrars provide an anonymization service where you can't see the person's email or their actual contact information, but you can send an email, and that email will automatically be forwarded to the owner. This is a handy technological mechanism to have. And that's problematic for registrars to implement and problematic for security researchers to be able to use with the GDPR as it's written.
And this is only the ICANN stuff. And one of the reasons that the register.co.uk might be a little smarmy about it is because .co.uk is managed by someone else. And they've already done whatever they need to do to live up to the GDPR. But it does make it a little bit toothless. And there's some security people have weighed in. It's like, you know, we kind of really need this. So
this is important to do our jobs.
Now, they do say that once there's quote unquote a justification for it, that maybe it's permitted under the GDPR. But this specific situation, I don't think was thought of when the GDPR was drafted. And so now we sort of get to figure it out. And it's like, is there going to be, you know, a bad actor here? Like, what if there's, you know, somebody that doesn't want their information to be public, but they haven't registered their domain name properly and goes after the registrar in an effort to sort of try to deal with it?
You know, what we could do is just move all the .coms back to the U.S. where they belong.
USA.
Take that, USA. Europe. There comes the downvotes. Got a lovely New York Times article here, but
you never can read it.
It's too much of a pain for me to switch.
Well, pro tip, and we've said this before, an incognito window will get past this paywall. But we've already gone to too many New York Times articles without the incognito mode, so we can't show it to you, but we've already read it.
The Golden State Killer has been caught thanks to DNA being on file with a genealogy database.
I was super excited about this when this happened because I had a middle school moment. When I was in middle school, it was summer break, and I was watching like crime dramas. And they had this really long documentary about this guy, and I was terrified watching it. It was like middle of the day. My mom comes home while I'm watching it, and I thought that the Golden State Killer was coming to kill me on the East Coast. I was terrified, but they caught him.
And it turns out he was a cop. So while he was doing all this, he was evading people because he knew how to evade people. A very horrible human being.
Well, he wasn't a cop while he was doing it, was he? Like, he was thrown off the force for stealing.
During the rapes, he was a cop. And after he was kicked off the force, that's when the killing began.
So it was an evolution.
But that's not what's important. What's important is they caught him using a genealogy website. Now, it wasn't one of the big ones. It was GED something. Do you remember what?
That.
I mean, the paywall prevents us from clarifying that. But anyway, this site had a way for you to upload genealogy data without sending them a swab. Like, you would type it yourself and upload that and compare just to do genealogy. So they talked about how they probably wouldn't be able to do this with, what's the popular one?
Ancestry.com. That's a really popular one. Yeah.
But because this one, they could just upload data and make the comparisons. The cops were able to do this, and the site had no idea.
Yeah. It sounded like from the article that the police actually got several hits on this, because when you're comparing to a huge population, like, this technology is not perfect at all, the DNA comparison thing, because you think it's like, oh, there's only one in like one quadrillion, two people would have the same alleles in common, but that makes fatal assumptions, like those are all ordered randomly and blah blah blah. There's this thing that we have in computer science called the birthday problem, and it's probably more like the birthday problem than most people realize. But having all of this in a database, you know, it's like did we intend for law enforcement to have access to that? Because with the recent laws that have passed in the U.S. and that are passing worldwide, law enforcement is going to have access to basically anything that's stored with any company if they request it. So,
well, they talked about that. This company, I think in the fine print, and they definitely in the press release said, listen, you know, of course they could do this. The way our program works, anybody can submit. And as long as you're, you know, accurately saying who it was, which they were, they're like, we think it's this guy. Then, they and the other thing that this company has, unlike the other ones, is you can then, you control your uploads. So you can upload and compare and then delete.
Hmm. Neat. Unlike, you know, everybody else in the market.
But genealogy.com or no, ancestry.com. And then there's another big one. They have admitted in the past they will work with law enforcement. So just think twice before you use any of those.
I accidentally implicated my third cousin in that murder.
If you're the uncaught serial killer from the 70s, you might want to think twice.
Well, it's not that he wasn't dumb enough to do that. They had
someone else probably.
No, they had crime scene samples from him.
Yeah.
And they had several, because, I mean, how many? It was like double digits.
He was started in one area and then moved like north somewhere in California.
Because he switched jobs.
Yeah, it was like 20, 30 people, I think.
Yeah, so they had a lot of crime scenes with a lot of DNA. And they didn't just use one, they used several. And it kept coming back for the same hit. And they were like, that's our guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out with the very large database and being able to run all of those samples, because I think it's going to get unrelated. At least some unrelated people are going to get caught up in this because they're going to not understand the birthday problem potentially, or maybe not. Maybe a biologist will weigh in and be like, no, it doesn't work that way.
I think Palantir is going to start a program where it's like free lollipops. Just send the sticks back.
Make sure to lick them real good. And then send them back.
At some point in our lifetime, it probably will cost so little to embed a cellular transmitter in the stick of the lollipop that they could just put everything right in the lollipop, and then you don't even have to send anything back. It'll just, you know, radio blip its way to wherever it needs to go.
Maybe that's what you'll do after your first vaccinations. You know, you'll get your sucker from the doctor. And
that's well, funny. That's
really
funny.
If they're sticking an IV needle in you, then why can't they just get it from that? I mean,
let's not give the anti-vaxxers any more ammo.
I have a feeling that more of our medical records are going to the government already than people really realize, because, even the ophthalmologists are transmitting pictures of your retina in order to get their Medicare and Medicaid stuff paid. So it's crazy times we live in. Speaking of crazy times we live in, the U.S. government is weighing sanctions against Kaspersky Labs. So there's not really any new information here other than the U.S. government is saying that, you know, Kaspersky really is extra terrible and we've got to do something about them, and we haven't figured out what yet, and they're not behaving. And the statement from Kaspersky is, well, we welcome you declassifying whatever evidence you have.
Well, they've laid out that the next step would be completely blocking them from doing business, because they can still do business in America. Best Buy, and who was the other one that banned them? Certain stores of their own accord. Of course, we know about Best Buy and the FBI, their little tryst. But certain stores just won't sell it. You can still buy it. But if this were to happen, you would not be able to buy it at all.
See, I really don't understand this story, because in the past, when you've had a company in America that's basically a front for a foreign overseas criminal organization, a sting has been set up. And then the normal wheels of justice sort of happen there. And it's like, we set up a situation and the company takes us up on it. So like, they could set up a sting where a government office buys the thing, but it's a fake government office. And then they catch them red-handed doing whatever. And then there are, like, the company is taken to court and it goes through the legal system. I don't understand what all this extra judicial finger-pointing is.
It's because that's the entire Russian narrative. You never present any evidence that Russia is doing certain things. And I don't say that because I think Russia is innocent. For sure, Russia is spying on us the same way we're spying on them. But, you know, the hysteria of the Russian narrative, I think this just sort of lends to it. And they'll never do anything about it, but they got some great headlines. It's in the news. It's more of like the layman is, you know, paging through their newspaper and they're like, oh, more Russia, you know.
Kaspersky, that sounds dangerous.
That's Russian. That's a Russian name.
They're in all of our business. This is, that's just, it just seems so immature. It's like, I'm pretty sure that the American people are smart enough to be able to deal with the actual details. No. Oh, damn my idealism. It's fine. It's fine.
But that's no reason for us not to try that. You have to give them the details. Then they might not consume it. You can take an American to water.
But you can't force them to drink.
You can't force them.
But you should take the water must be provided.
Those Americans demanding Brondo constantly. Just Tesla shareholders are going to vote on booting Elon Musk as chairman. So Elon Musk is chairman and CEO. And I thought, you know, I read into this and I was like, ooh, this is going to be juicy. And it turns out it's the same troll. This the guy that is bringing this only has 12 shares in Tesla. And he does this in all the companies.
They're like, what, $280 a share right now? So it's not even that much money. You know, most people could probably get... That's a lot of power as a shareholder. And it is...
We need a level one fundraiser.
Again, it gets the headline. And a lot of people chastise us for doing Tesla stories. Here's just a quick reminder. We don't make the news.
We just read what's provided.
News is out there, and we tell you about it. So, yeah, and the media loves Tesla. They love to talk about Tesla, good or bad. Mostly bad.
This story definitely came up 12 different ways in all of my news aggregation things.
Yeah. So it's interesting to look at. But it also is true that Musk is, the ice is getting a little thin under him because he's fumbled a lot in the recent past.
Poor Tesla. It's fine. Netflix, Amazon, and other major studios are trying to shut down $20 per month TV service. It's the third lawsuit against TV box makers filed by Netflix and film studios. So I read this, and it seems like these people are just straight up pirates.
They are straight up pirates, well, from what I understood of the article.
I think it's one of those deals where there are services where you request a stream, and somewhere they start it and film it.
And then stream it to
you.
And
send it to you. I'm not sure that's exactly what's going on here, but it seems like that. And, yeah, as much as I would like to defend, like, I hate the TV companies. I want to see them destroyed. But it's hard to defend that.
Yeah.
That's kind of stealing.
Well, the company that I think was doing that right, legally and ethically, made it all the way to the Supreme Court, and they were struck down. And that was what, Arrow? I can't remember. It was the New York company.
Well, but, I mean, ethically, you think that's really ethical? Because it might have been legal at the time.
Well, it turned out not like the Supreme Court ruled that it wasn't legal. But what they were doing was just over-the-air broadcasts, and you would rent an antenna and a DVR from them, and then you could stream it from your DVR that you rented in their data center to your TV. And it's like, that seems okay to me. This seems not okay. But the, you know, over-the-air retransmission, how is that not okay?
Now they had some HBO content in there. HBO is pure subscription based.
Yeah, not over the air.
There is an argument. Stuff like, you know, NBC, CBS, those are supposed to be ad driven, and it makes sense. Hey, I'm redistributing your ads, so how is this bad for you? But when you talk about stuff like the movie channels and the pure subscription stuff,
yeah. And Netflix content, because Netflix owns Netflix content and does not broadcast it in any way,
so. They're probably right for once. I hate to say it.
Yeah. Well, they already killed the only legitimate service and you know, did an end run around. Oh, that's just, they can never be forgiven for killing a legitimate service. Guess what? T-Mobile and Sprint are going to merge. They
actually,
$25.6 billion. They've already agreed to it.
Update, it happened today.
Yeah. So we got this Reuters article from April 27th, but yeah. Well, I think they're still waiting for regulators to approve it, but the figure was like $25.8 billion or something like that. It's going to be, they're like, we need this to compete with Verizon and AT&T, and that's probably true.
Yeah, but mergers are almost always bad.
The real question for the designer is, what color scheme prevails? Is it the bright yellow or the bright pink?
I think...
Or what about both?
I think...
They're going to go bold.
There's something weird about this still, like T-Mobile... Like it's some kind of Dutch company or Deutsche, might be German, keeps it on their books, but Sprint is actually in charge.
So it's pink or yellow.
I think yellow would be the winner.
Yellow would be the winner.
Yeah.
Deutsche Telekom. Yeah, that's German, I think.
More details later in the design segment. Not this week, but maybe some other time.
PSA, Amazon is increasing its prices, the price of its annual Prime plan. Now, we mention that because don't we get all our tech stuff through Prime? I mean, except for Krista.
We almost had Krista.
No, no, you never did. This just meant my initial thing that I don't need this service. It's 119, but just round that up to 120.
It does hurt a little bit. They give you, if you're a Prime member, they give you last year's, like, hey, last year you saved this much in shipping. I think my total was 159. So I'm still okay with it, but they're going to lose me if they keep at this.
Yeah.
But it's just so darn convenient.
It is so convenient.
It's convenient, but at what cost? And do you really need most
$119
things?
Is the cost.
Yeah.
But think about all those people that have to pee in bottles.
We gotta keep them employed.
Do you think any of that $19 will go to the piss jug fund to alleviating that horror?
I think if Jeff Bezos is a smart man, he needs to come out and be like, we're raising Prime to set up porta potties on the floor in our warehouse. It's going to offset the cost of having the porta potty. So if you have an emergency bathroom situation, you can just go right there on the floor and you don't have to trek back to.
Or maybe just put drains in all the warehouses.
Well, instead of having to provide your own Gatorade bottle, you're going to get a nice bedazzled Amazon branded aluminum jug.
Don't drink out of this.
And then next year we report that those were made as cheaply as possible in China out of pure lead. It was not a good week, in business news. It was definitely not a good week for Charter and Comcast and Altice, because their stock prices have dived because their cable TV subscriber losses have gone up significantly. Charter plummeted 11% in the stock market. That's crazy.
Oh, no.
Their response? Raise prices.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
I'm not sure if it was this article. This made big news in a lot of places, and there was one study that I found that said that in general, cable TV prices have gone up 75% over the last 10 or 15 years, which far outpaces inflation. And so that article suggested is like, maybe not just the content being crap is to blame here. Maybe the cost increases by 75% is also driving cord costs, cord cutters like crazy.
Not to mention ad congestion.
Yeah.
The ads. Some of them, they usually won't do it on first run, but if they're doing 5 years after a show had run and it was super popular, they've even been known to speed up the show. Like, they'll, put a small percentage increase in the show that you can barely notice to squeeze in an extra commercial.
Why? Why do you? It's like, we'll just money? Trim this and do that. And
it's so noticeable. Like, when I go home and watch TV with my mom, it's grating and how loud they are.
Oh, commercials are just, I've come to a point in my life where I'm never going to be able to go back to commercials. It's just, I would just rather sit in silence, stare at the wall.
I can't, so have you been to some of the gas stations around here that now they have ads that play?
Some of them have a mute button, and if you ever noticed the mute button, like, it's worn, and you can barely read it because everybody's smashing it, and it doesn't really respond most of the time. It's like halfway through the commercial before it'll mute.
Oh, it's so annoying.
So what you're saying is that it is the consumers that are wrong. It is not the broadcasters and the media hobgoblins. It is the people who are consuming. They must be taught not to hit the mute button because, gosh darn it, those hobgoblins need their revenue.
That's not what I'm saying.
So you're saying more ads is what you want? More ads?
Definitely more ads is the solution here. I mean, it's obvious, really. Why don't we switch it around? Why don't we make the entire thing an ad and then just have the content in little 3-minute bursts inside the 30 minutes of ads?
Well, they, some stations play some visual ads during the shows?
Sometimes, oh, yeah, at the bottom, the lower
like
third. The
of course, shows also will be like, oh, yes, here I am drinking a Pepsi. Vertical integration. We would never sell out.
I wish we could get some Pepsi money.
Yeah, I wish too.
Coke's just right down the road. We could, maybe get a Coke sponsorship.
Hey, whoever. Listen, I'll take a sponsorship from a drain cleaner. I don't care.
Or detergent, as the case may be.
Wasn't it like you drink drain cleaner?
Well, I would fill the bottle with water and, pretend that I was drinking drain cleaner.
That's not how that works. You got to commit. It's called the method.
Prepare for that video.
Amazon is now going to deliver packages to the trunk of your car. So we talked about Amazon delivering stuff directly into your house. Not okay with that. This, I'm probably okay with this.
To the trunk? I
think it's fine.
I have a great commercial idea for this. All right, so you get somebody who's famous for being in mob movies, like a Robert De Niro or Joe Pesci, and he's talking about how great, the trunk delivery service is, and then the Amazon guy shows up and he opens the trunk, and there's like a body or something in there. And he's like, oh, and he gently puts the package in. Contact me, Amazon. That would be a huge hit.
I'm sensing a level one skit in our future.
Or it could be a live person, you know, like pleading, and then the Amazon person just like gently closes the
shit. We should do that skit, and we should post it and see if Amazon responds.
That'll be funny. That's definitely on the road to level one's million subs for sure, because technology.
Well, let's hit 300,000 before we go for 1 million.
Now, there's a lot of stuff in this article that they talk about that is... seems like logistics problems. So you think about delivery to a car, and it's like, well, is your car parked in the parking garage? Where is it in the parking garage?
What if you have to run and go get something? What if your kid has a meltdown? Daycare, you have to go get them.
Yeah, the article author really seems like they tried to answer those questions, but it didn't seem like there were a lot of great answers from Amazon other than, if we try your car and it doesn't work, we'll deliver it to your backup address.
No, the answer to the location thing is terrifying, because the little handheld device that they have has the GPS coordinates of your car. So they can actually track your car.
I don't think that'll work inside a parking garage, though.
Well, they could get the last known location. And this only works with Volvo and GM right now. And you have to have the OnStar. Volvo calls it something else.
OnStar Extra Invasive Package.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to have that monthly service. There's a lot of ifs. But if all that's true and you want to get this, they can pop it in. And they talk about how only the handheld device can open the trunk, and it can only do it once, and it's all monitored. But remember when they did the front door lock thing?
Yeah.
Would it take like a week for somebody to find a way through that? And it was a pretty catastrophic failure they figured out, too. Just like if you block the router, the door would never relock itself. So
the thing with this, I think the one possible saving grace with this is that the unlockability almost certainly depends on the OnStar functionality. And so if vulnerabilities like that are found, it's going to be egg on OnStar's face. And so I think that they will not like that.
But also think about this, and this is nothing new, but it should make you think about that. If you have OnStar or the Volvo service or whatever, and cops have a warrant, OnStar is going to unlock your car.
OnStar is going to remotely disable your car, potentially. Yeah. There have actually been several cases of that, so... You know, political dissidents. It's like pro political dissident tip. Don't drive a smart car.
If your credit score goes below a certain threshold, your car will not operate.
Well, how amazing would that be? I mean, how dystopian is that? You get in your car and your car berates you for 5 minutes about being a terrible human being
before it lets you drive to work.
You'll tweet an apology right now or you're not going to the store.
And then what if it deems it insincere?
Like, the future is exciting.
You got to stick your finger in a socket in the car to like so it can measure your pulse. It's like, all right, I believe it. I believe it this time.
We truly are living in the best timeline.
Pinterest has just added a search filter to let you search results by skin tone.
I know. I think this is kind of cool as someone who uses Pinterest from time to time. I don't use as much as I used to.
I wondered when I saw that headline because we're conditioned to think about these things in terms of like, oh, is that racist? Are people going to be offended by that? But then the more you read it, it's like, well, it does make
a
lot of sense.
It's useful for cosmetics, yeah.
Now, the other cool thing about it is they actually had to do some AI work because shadow, of course, is a big part of photography and fashion photography. Like if you shoot, if the light is above you shooting down, you have some nice shadows. It makes your cheeks look.
Cheekbooks.
Cheekbooks.
Only I have cheekbooks.
Cheekbook would be like a whole different kind of social media.
Cheekbook. Oh, yeah.
And so they did an AI to like figure out where the shadows are and ignore them. And it was kind of impressive what they did.
I thought it was neat.
And they're going to do more work because they figured out that people who go to Pinterest are looking for makeup tutorials.
That's true. DIY, makeup tutorials, hair tutorials, that kind of thing. That's usually
I thought Pinterest was like, yeah, I thought it was like home decor and baking impossible cakes that no one could reproduce.
Yeah. Pinterest fails. That was a good blog that ran for a long time. The only thing I don't like about Pinterest is how it clogs up search results for everything.
Well, now you can filter by.
No. I mean, like when you're in Google or something and it's like, I need to find how to do this. Oh, and then it's like a Pinterest link and then like that Pinterest link goes to another link and then that goes to another link, and then you find out it's like a dead end, and you just wasted 5 minutes.
Pinterest has no interest in web traffic, because every time I get any kind of Pinterest link, it's like, you should install the app, and it's like, no.
No, thanks.
Speaking of installing apps and things that are owned by Facebook, Facebook's earnings, the first quarter earnings call report thingy, was also last week. And yeah, it's going to be just Harry Carey. You know, analysts are going to be jumping from the roof, and because we got the, you know, the Cambridge Analytica thing and all the controversy. Yeah, no, their earnings were up.
Yeah, it was fine. Actually pretty good. They did show some caution. They were like, we do have these lawsuits on the horizon, and that did happen somewhat late in the quarter. So,
my favorite caution was, we're going to find more data breaches, and it's going to be bad. Like, they just didn't even bother trying to sugarcoat it.
And they're certainly not wrong about that. There are going to be. I think actually they've already found one more, which might be something we're going to talk about later on. Unfortunately, finally.
It finally loaded.
Oh, and the other one loaded the second after that.
SiliconValley.com has some non-GDPR compliant analytics running in the background. Yeah, so I like the headline. It's like, I got an earnings boost, but there's some fine print here. So, yeah, there's just...
Bad news if you shorted them before the conference call, though.
I really would have thought that they would have done... maybe
had some sort of penalty.
We've got some hope for next quarter. Maybe it's a little bit of a delayed reaction, because the Cambridge Analytica thing was relatively late in the quarter.
Yeah, but they've got a whole quarter for the world to forget that.
That's true.
Yeah. Like Equifax.
We had a really bad quarter, the Q2 of 20... I can see the headline now. It's like, we had a really bad quarter, Q2 of 2018, because it was just such a nice day all quarter, and people went outside, and they weren't really using their computers very much.
Yeah, but now people take their smartphones outside, so...
They're constantly obsessing. Okay, what's this one? Oh, yeah, Mark Zuckerberg fakes. Yeah, so in other Facebook news, it's sort of like the journalists are looking into Facebook more deeply, and so Facebook has got a problem with fake people using Facebook for scams, including fake Mark Zuckerbergs.
But the scams are really bad. I think these are worse than the African prince scams.
That's
my favorite.
This article was about a retired forklift driver, and he sent them apparently like $2,000 in total or something.
Think about this. First of all, he got a message and it was like, you've won the Facebook lottery. And his response was like, I was so excited. Of course, you know.
Poor old person. I'm so sorry.
Bless your heart.
You've never heard of the Facebook lottery because it doesn't exist. But then he got private messages from Mark_Zuckerberg9. Like Mark didn't get the first. And there were 8 Mark Zuckerbergs before he got his account.
Maybe 9 was his lucky number. You don't know.
So then he gets, you know, and Mark Zuckerberg in horribly broken English tells him he needs a $100 iTunes gift card in order to unlock the money.
You know, if I were a retired forklift driver, I'd be thinking it's like, well, you know, rich people, it's just a whole different world for rich people. And maybe they like seeing poor people jump through hoops. So, yeah, I'll go along with this. It's cool.
But this guy ended up giving up like $1,300 more to try to get. And it was a $750,000 Facebook lottery he was trying to get. And he was not the only other person. Or the only person who was affected. Also, what's the second in command, the woman's name?
Oh,
forget her name.
Yeah.
Is it Sarah something?
Sandberg.
Sarah Sandberg.
Sheryl Sandberg.
Sheryl Sandberg. She had a lot of fakes as well. Again, terrible broken English offering. And they have screen. You should go to this motherboard article just to read the screen captions. Because it's like, I have to go now, but we have the trust. Yes, the trust. It's like, yes, I trust you.
Oh, bless all their hearts.
Yeah, well, I thought it was real because I Googled Sheryl Sandberg and she was the number 2 in command.
Her picture.
How could they possibly fake that?
Where would they find a picture of her?
Let me see if I can find it here. There was a screenshot from Twitter and I laughed for like 5 minutes because the caption on the side of Twitter was like, Mark Zuckerberg's account for Facebook lottery claims. Message me now to win. And it's just like, what?
So there's no Facebook lottery, in case you weren't clear at this point. That
doesn't
exist.
Someone messaged you.
Yeah, and Mark Zuckerberg does not have anything to say to you.
Do you think somebody would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies? That's what those guys were thinking.
Sad.
All right, that's enough for this one. What's coming up in the next one? I've already forgotten.
I've also forgotten.
It looks like it is hardware, security, and cryptocurrency.
So you've got that to look forward to. We'll see you in the next one.
And nothing else.
Nothing else.
Literally nothing else.
Your empty life and that.
Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell and do all the YouTube engagement stuff to feed the algorithm.
And to buy shirts.
Oh, yeah, the shirts.
Oh, yeah, we have shirts.
You could wear them to work if your work is not weird about stuff.
And you can, all day long, you can enjoy people coming up to you and being like, what is that? I've never heard of that.
And then you can be like, oh, it's this awesome news program that I watch. It's kind of garbage, but I mean, I like it. Don't judge me for liking this.
Level one. Well, it's kind of garbage, but we like it.